now. We're should be all set, and it should be recording. Nancy's here, but she's off doing something else, I think. Maybe she'll say a word when she comes in. Oh, she's muted herself, so that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. Today we're going to talk about social networking and why you need to do it. You've probably heard that, you know, you've got to do it. It's something that's very important to build up your business. But maybe you don't know exactly why. And the main reason is you can reach a wider audience. You know, the web is worldwide, and you can draw clients in from everywhere. It's not like it used to be where you had to go out and talk to groups and meet with people individually to try to get business that way. And I don't know about you, but for me, it's much easier to try to promote if you're not in a one-to-one in-person situation. You know, maybe it's just me, but I like to hide behind the anonymity of the internet. But also, even more than that, social networking lets you build relationships. And nobody is going to hire a coach unless they have a relationship with that coach. You won't find just somebody off the street say, oh yeah, I want to sign up with you and do your coaching. You've got to build relationships first, and social networking is such a great way to do that. But a lot of people get overwhelmed and confused when they try to get started. Yeah, people tell you, you've got to have a blog, you've got to have a website, you have to be online. And it can be just so overwhelming that you don't do anything. You think, well, I can't do this till I do this, I can't do this till I do this. You know, you've got to have a website before you start networking, so you can send them to your website. Where do you start? And the thing behind our philosophy is that you just want to get started and you want to take small steps. You don't have to do everything overnight. You don't even have to do everything yourself. You can outsource. The important part of that is knowing what you can outsource and what you can't. Social networking is just exactly like a big backyard barbecue, where you wouldn't go to a barbecue and start handing out business cards and saying, buy my services. You want to get in, join the conversations, create relationships, and then once you've got the relationship, people will be eager to come to you and do business with you. The first thing you want to do when you start is register a domain name. The reason I want you to do this first is because there's so many that are not available. Once you know what you want to grab it while you can. Now, there's a big debate about whether you want to use your business name or your personal name. And there's a cycle that, you know, used to be popular for personal names, and then business names became more popular. And now it's going back more toward personal names. But there's pros and cons to either one, and you have to think about it and decide which way you want to go. It's great to brand your own name. It's easier in a lot of situations. Like on a Facebook page, they want a real person, so you need your personal name for your profile. But if you want to sell your business, it's better if your name isn't attached to it, if you totally want to get out of it and get rid of it. So think about it.
Another thing, too, about this is that if you're just starting out, it is a lot harder to brand your own name than it is a business name that has some of your keywords in it. So that's another advantage to the business name, is that you can use some keywords in there and get your business branded faster than if you were trying to brand just your name.
Yeah. And in any case, you want to get the .com extension, that's what everybody will assume you have, and that's what the browsers are going to fill in if you don't fill it in for them. So you definitely want to get the .com, and that's why it's harder to get. You can usually pick up a .net or a .info for a keyword domain, or even your name. I have a real common name, so I have to do some, you know, add initials and do some fancy stuff, whereas Jeanette has a very unusual name, and she can get it anywhere she goes. She's lucky.
Even though I also have to spell it everywhere I go.
Well, that's true. That's true. The next thing you want to do is you want to write your bio. You want to have a short blurb about who you are and what you do. You want it to be interesting and entertaining. You don't want it to be your resume. You don't want to be, I went to school here, I did this, you know, I've worked here and here and here and here. That's not what this is about. You want to make, you want to attract people to you. So you want to focus on what you can do for your audience rather than who you are and what your credentials are. Once you start talking and interacting, if you know your stuff, then you'll build your credibility that way. And it's much more a showing, not telling them who you are and what you do. Once you have your bio, you want to shorten it down to 160 characters because that's all that Twitter will allow you in your bio. Now, for both versions, make sure that you put some keywords in there. People can search on your profile, and if they're looking for coach, they can find it like that, business coach, career coach, whatever your specialty is, life coach. That way they can find you a little bit easier. So you want to make sure that you put that in as well. And I didn't tell you guys, but I've got the lines open unless you've muted yourself. And if you've got questions, want to make a comment, just step in. We're a small group.
Hi, Lynn. It's Lori.
Hi, Lori.
I have a quick question. You mentioned 160 characters for Twitter's bio.
Uh-huh.
The bio section, because normally it's like 140 to send a Twitter message.
Right. The tweets are 140, but they give you a little bit more room in the bio. Not, you know.
Gotcha. I wanted to make sure that was the distinction.
Right, right. Yeah, your tweets are definitely 140, and it helps to keep them a little shorter so to allow people to retweet for you. We'll talk about Twitter in a minute.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. You need a picture for all of your profiles, and that can be a professional or it can be an informal snapshot. Doesn't matter, as long as it's a close-up of your face. People want to see a person. They call it Facebook for a reason. You want to be smiling, friendly, approachable. And Jeanette will tell you, I'll let her tell you about consistency.
Yes, you want to use the same picture on all of your sites so that whenever someone sees that picture, they know it's you, especially if there are people that have the same name as you.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So consistency, you know, you're going to find that we're going to be emphasizing that in every area, that to be consistent with everything that you do, you know, like you use the same bio. You may rewrite it a little bit for different sites, but it's got to be the same. So they know that it's you. That's the main thing.
Right. Now, this is a do what I say, not what I do. on Twitter, I have a picture of me holding my cockatoo, who you'll probably hear from before the session's over. Every time I go to take it down, somebody says, oh, no, I like that. That makes you look, you know. Now, because he's in it, it's a different photo. It's further away than the close-up that I'm telling you to use. So that's an exception, and you sort of have to weigh that. It's what we say is more recommendations than absolute.
Right, always exceptions.
Yeah.
So you know, take everything with a grain of salt, and if you don't want to do what we say, do your twist on it.
Yeah. But we hopefully we're giving you reasons why you want to do it according to the system. Okay. The next thing you want to do is to set up a Google account. I know some people just absolutely hate Google, but Google has some wonderful tools, very, very helpful. And it's the number one website, the number one search engine, so ignore them to your peril. One of the things that they've set up lately is a Google profile, and that's really wonderful because you can fill in your profile, use the bio, use the picture that we did in the last step, and when somebody searches on your name, it will come up on the first page of Google. Your picture will come up. If you've got videos, they'll come up. And this is where the consistency of the picture comes in. There is somebody with the name, there's lots of people with the name Lynn Jordan. There's a woman who has a band, and that's, you know, she is usually the top ranking. But there's also a woman on the profile page who has a picture with pasties. And, you know, so I want everybody to say, that's not me. Definitely not me. You know, there's some things you don't know about me, but that's not one of them. once you get your bio and your photo uploaded, then the account that you set up with Google, you can use in all their other tools. One of their other tools is YouTube, because they bought YouTube. So you can use that same account on YouTube. You still have to do a separate profile on YouTube, but you do an account on YouTube. Google Calendar is just a marvelous tool. You can schedule your appointments, you can schedule your meetings, and then you can have it pop up in your email, send it a text to your cell phone. There's many ways that it can keep you on track, and I really, really recommend the Google Calendar.
Well, and then there's Google Alerts.
Oh, yes.
Google Alerts is an amazing helpful program because you can create an alert for your name, and you have to put it in quotes so that you don't get all the Jeanettes and all the Cazellas in the world.
There can't be that many.
That many, but
not with that spelling. Yeah.
Anyway, you put it in quotes, and then whenever your name is mentioned on the internet and the search engine spiders are crawling in that particular site that week, so it's not going to be everything, but wherever they pick it up, then you can get an alert sent to your email, and you can see where you're starting to show up. And I just started doing that a couple months ago, and it's interesting to see where I show up. Sometimes one of my articles that I've submitted to an article directory shows up on another article directory site that someone has, you know, liked and posted, which is, you know, what people do with other people's articles. That's the fun part of viral marketing.
And, unless they totally botch it. A Google alert came up for me the other day on one of mine that had a non-English speaker had run it through a spinner. And at first when I saw it, I was very upset that it didn't have my name on it. And then I tried to read it, and it was totally unintelligible. And just, I think they were going for word count, so some of the sentences were lopped off. And it, you know, so I thought, well, thank heavens it doesn't have my name on it.
Yeah, but normally they're supposed to copy it. You know,
oh, they're exactly. Supposed to, absolutely.
Anyway, and then the other thing that I've seen come up is my comments on other people's blogs. So we'll talk about that too, but that's just one other place that I've seen my name come up.
And
so
Twitter comments can come up quite often too.
Yeah.
So it's a good way. It's a good way to keep track of your reputation online. Because you can tell what people are saying about you. And like if somebody mentions you in their blog, you know, you can thank them and work on building that relationship.
Yeah, and if you get retweeted, you know, sometimes it'll come up or is mentioned, you know, if you're mentioned in Twitter, you can go and thank them for mentioning you. And then they'll do it again, you see.
Right. Yeah, it's more of that relationship stuff.
And then create the re-alert for your business name, too, if you're using both.
For all the same reasons.
Yeah. And then, Lynn, you have a little system for recording this.
Yes, yes.
Spreadsheet.
Yeah, if you keep track, when you first start, keep track of how many of the hits are returned on those terms, and also how many of those are you. And then as you build your online presence, if you do it about once a month, you can track how that's growing and see how that's working for you. Any questions? You all have a Google Alerts already, right?
Okay, so next is
Twitter. Twitter's a great place to start because it's only 140 characters. You know, that can't be too scary, right? They actually call it a mini blogging platform. And everybody, you know, I can't blog. What do I write about? How do I write? Well, you know, you can do 140 characters. Anybody can do 140 characters. You've already got your bio. You've got your photo, so you can use it to build up your profile.
Well, and a lot of times what people use is they find quotes that are relevant to their business and put those up.
Right.
You know, if you can't think of anything to write.
Yeah. But you want to be careful. There are some people that only do quotes.
Yeah.
And I refuse to follow those people. But you do want to put up five tips first. Helpful information, whatever, before you start following people. Once you start following people, they're going to come back and they're going to look at your profile, look at your picture, and that's why you want an inviting bio, and you want a picture that looks like a real person, not just the site or avatar. And they're going to read those tweets that you've posted to see whether or not they want to follow you and build a relationship with you. So once you've got your page ready to receive visitors, then you can go out and find people that you want to follow. Because once you're following them, their followers can see your tweets as well. So, like all of us in this group should be following the rest of us in this group. we can all follow Sharon. We can follow, the big people in our group, in our field.
Well, and that's how I started my following, was that I looked to see who was following Sharon. And then I'd go look at their profile and say, oh, yeah, that's interesting. So then I'd follow them, and then they'd follow me back, and that's how I started out.
And it's not, some people are in it for numbers game, I got 5,000 Twitter followers in 3 days or something. You can't build a relationship that way. In our business, it's all about relationships. So what you want to do is, have quality over quantity, It's not a numbers game.
Yeah, and you want to watch that you're getting as many followers as you're following so that the numbers are similar.
If you don't, then you'll be blocked by Twitter until they come up some.
Yeah. And the other thing, one way to do that is that once or twice a week I check to see who has followed me, and then I check their profiles and see if I want to follow them back, and unless it's just something completely irrelevant, because you have to remember that your followers are going to be seeing all the things that are on your page. So you want to make sure that you're following people that are relevant and not just spamming people.
Right. And Sex Kitten is pretty popular. She gets on and adds people all the time, if it really is a she. But Twitter's pretty good about shutting down accounts. Sometimes you'll go to check a follower's profile and you'll get the, this page isn't here anymore message.
Yeah. And if you follow them and then see that you don't like their tweets, you can always unfollow them too.
Twitter's an open network. You can't control who follows you. You can control who you follow, but anybody can follow you. Anybody can see your tweets. So regardless of where you are on the internet, remember that everything on the internet is permanent. Once it's out there, and there's no way to get rid of it.
With one exception, though, and that is that you can make a tweet, and then if you see that there's a typo or mistake, or like sometimes I'll be posting my blog and somehow the page doesn't show up. So then you can go into Twitter and just delete the tweet.
True. But if something has been out on the internet, somebody is likely to have archived it. There's archives of sites way, way back. So I think some of these young kids that are doing very inappropriate things are going to be in real trouble later on, because now employers Google people and, you know, check on the internet. And I know several that have either been fired from jobs or not been hired for jobs because of things that they've done on the internet.
So do be careful.
Yeah. Don't do anything on the internet you wouldn't want in your local newspaper. Twitter has some marvelous tools to help you manage this, because I know some people say, well, I don't understand it. It's too overwhelming. How do I use it? Why would I use it? And the tools will help you manage it a little bit better. That said, people either like Twitter much better than Facebook or Facebook much better than Twitter. And that doesn't matter. Pick one, use it more, but you do need a presence on the other side. Now, the reason Jeanette and I are so good at working together is that we are just about opposite in everything. she's a Mac, I'm a PC, she likes Facebook, I like Twitter, she likes web pages, I like blogs. So we've got you covered one way or the other. But on Twitter, a hashtag is simply a word, it's like a keyword, that has a pound sign in front of it. And what that does, if you shift on the three, you get the pound sign. It lets you keep conversations together. So if you want to talk about, say, life coaching, if you search on pound life coach, you can find all sorts of conversations around life coach. And that will let you hang them together a little bit. There are Twitter tools such as TweetDeck and Hootsuite that let you keep those together. They usually set up a column for a search term, and that way you can see the conversations only using that search term, and that helps keep it a little bit straighter. It's a little bit less confusing. There's also designated chat times for different subjects, and I really have good results with one of them for writing, and I keep telling Jeanette she needs to participate more in those. There is a Law of Attraction chat Sunday. When is it, Jeanette?
At 1 p.m. Eastern Time.
And it's pound sign LOA for the chat on that one. And that's a good way to get.
Chat.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking for my list. yeah, there's several coaching chats. You have to sort of be careful on Twitter, because if you talk about coaching, you get a lot of athletic coaches, and that's not usually, you know, what you're. But there's life coaches. There's a career coach chat. There's business coach chat. There's a bunch of women in business chats. There is a hashtag for abundance. I'm not sure if they have a specific chat or not.
Hey, Lynn, it's Lori. I have a quick question about
Sure.
hashtags.
Sure.
This is great information because I always wondered, what is a hashtag? And my next question is, how do you create one that isn't going to be used by someone else? Because I've seen that happen before where someone creates a hashtag and it turns out it already is being used by someone else. So how do you do that?
I would search on it. There's a website called hashtags.org, O-R-G. And supposedly they have, you know, a pretty good list, and you can find what's being used on there. But you can always set up your own, and, you know, hashtags come and go.
Okay.
So, you know, don't be afraid. And if somebody else is using it for something else, then, you know.
Just tweak it so that.
Yeah, stick a number on it or something else. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay, good to know. Thank you so much.
Yeah. But there's a hashtag, there's life coach, there's life coaches, there's business coach. I got really excited about one. There, it's tools for coaches, and it's the number 4, but it's a user, and it's all his tips. And he has some good tips. I'm not saying he isn't, but it's not a interactive conversation. It's not a relationship. And that's what you want some of your tweets to be, responses. You want to join conversations because you don't want it to be just one way. You know, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you this. You want, you know, ask questions, answer questions.
Reply to other tweets.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I know there's a writer chat that I just love, and it's not too big. There is a blog chat. It's on Sunday nights. I think it's 6 Eastern. And that is real large, and it can be overwhelming. So if you're on that, you just sort of pick up, you have conversations with 1 or 2 people, and the rest of them just sort of you know, ignore them because you can't keep up with everything. But you can certainly go back and search.
It's like a big cocktail party.
Exactly.
You're not going to be able to talk to everybody.
Right. But the people you do talk to can be, you know, can be very helpful. You can learn things. You can grow your relationships. You'll hear me.
Sorry, Lynn. It's Lori again.
Yeah.
And I apologize if you said this already, but this is great to know that you can actually join chats that happen at particular times on particular subjects. And is there a place to find a listing of these as well?
There is a Google spreadsheet that anybody can update, so you can add your own chats too. And we have a link to it in our report, which we'll give you the link to.
We'll talk about it in a minute.
It's a real long URL, or you know.
Okay.
I need to set up a redirect for it, so I've got something simpler to tell you. But yeah, definitely. In fact, I was getting the URL. This is interesting. I want to do this one.
Wonderful. This is awesome, you guys. This is very helpful.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so next we're going to talk about Facebook.
Yeah, that's Jeanette's favorite.
That's my favorite. I don't know why. I just am getting into it.
Yeah. And what you do that works, you do more of. You know, so you want to get out and experiment and find out really what works for you. And once again, on Facebook, you start by setting up your profile, and you've got your information. You're all ready to set it up. I imagine most of you might have a profile already, right? But remember, your profile is basically for your friends and family. You can't promote using your profile. You can get banned faster than anything for doing promotion on your profile. I know several people who have had that happen. So once you get that set up, go ahead.
It's Lori. Quick question. So on the profile, so you can't list like your website or
yes.
Or
usually in most online profiles, they do have a list for a link to your website. Make sure you use that and use your keywords in your profile.
Okay.
And if you don't have a website when you get started, you can always go back and add it to your profiles when you do, you know. But because of this no promotion thing is why Facebook started setting up fan pages. And a fan page, if you go to create one, it's under advertising. They want you to advertise there. That's gotcha. So you want to set up your fan page. And for your profile, you have to approve anybody who wants to be your friend so you can control who sees your updates. On your fan page, anybody can be a fan who wants to be. And, of course, you really don't want to limit your fan base. So that's really a good thing. And they keep...
Didn't they change... I'm sorry. Didn't they change fan pages to like pages?
Well, they changed it to pages. And when they changed it to pages, they put that big like button up. And so everybody started calling it like pages.
I see.
So it's still called a fan page.
Yeah, you know, it's whatever. And there's a theory that the like button, because you can put a like button on your blog, you can put a like button on your website, and there's a theory that they're going to have a search engine that looks at pages that have the likes on them, and they're going to try to compete with Google as far as being a search engine.
Wow.
So they're the second most popular website. They have more visitors than any other website besides Google. And I got an email last night that said they passed Google. And I don't believe that. I haven't checked it out. But, you know. And they're also the second most popular video site, second only to YouTube, owned by Google. So they're really in a competitive arena with Google. They're trying to get up there and compete. So and they do change things. They change things all the time. I have a good friend who says that they wait until she's learned how to do something. And as soon as she has, they've changed it.
Yep.
we've had to go back and revise our document several times, and I'm sure, you know,
in the last month.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, you know, so that's when you want to sign up for ongoing updates, because it's going to, you know. But just know that they change things, and you can sort of, you know.
Yeah, and we need to keep going on the pace here, because we're only up to
Where are we running out? Uh-huh. Okay, you want to talk about fan pages a little bit more?
Yeah, so when you set up the fan page, the nice thing about it is that there's no limit to the amount of fans that you can have, whereas there is a limit to the amount of friends you can have on your regular page. And the other great thing about the fan page is that you can put a customized tab, a welcome tab, and have that be the default, and that can be an opt-in to whatever your offer is, so that you can build your list that way by having this special tab. And that's how a lot of people have really built up their business, just from Facebook having this fan page and this special tab, which is just, it's like another page, but it's called a tab. So, and of course, in order to have an opt-in offer, you'll have to set up an autoresponder, which is something that we cover in our course, but we're not going to cover today.
Yeah. But you need that anyway, because you need it on your webpage. Go ahead, Eleanor.
Can I ask you something? Yeah.
Go ahead, Eleanor.
Yeah. Would you be going through the etiquette, if you like, of, I don't know, I can't even remember if people ask me to like their page, or if I just do that, you know, if I come across them. Is there a way of, you know, without it being spam, is that something that you would go into?
Yeah, we cover all that kind of stuff in our course.
Yeah.
Which is you know, a little more detailed than we have time to go into here.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, there is a protocol for each of these sites, really, as to how to approach people so that you're not spamming.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be careful about that, because that turns people off more than anything, you know.
Yeah, that's one of my, yeah, it's something that I'm not too au fait with, I must say, so, yeah.
Well, that's the whole confusion behind social networking, is that every site has its own little nuances of how you go about doing it. Mm-hmm. You know, you need a manual, practically, on, you know, what to how to do it, what not to say, what to say, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, nobody can force you to like anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the thing is, we didn't see anywhere on the internet where they, where you can find all this out in one place. So that's where we thought we came in to fulfill that need.
Yeah, there's a lot about Facebook that I don't quite grasp. I don't think the, interface is very user friendly. Well, not for me anyway.
No, because they keep changing it.
Yeah.
That's what we have to do, is to make everything more user friendly for you.
Good. Good.
Yeah. So then next we talk about Facebook groups, and there's. The groups are not indexed, so that's why they're not as important as the fan page. But it's another way to develop relationships and interact with people. And it's also a way for you to gain more visibility, because you can join the other groups and you can post to their page. So, and that's the other thing that you can do with the fan page, is that your fans are now a list, and so you can send messages to them. And the interesting phenomena about Facebook is that there's a tendency for people to read email messages that that come from Facebook more than reading a regular email, you know, promotion type email from somebody. But of course, the ultimate goal is to get them from being a fan to being on your own opt-in list, because you never know, Facebook could go down at any time, and if all of your fans are just on there and you don't have them on your own list, they're gone. So so you can search the public groups by just, you know, doing a search on Facebook, find groups that are in your niche and join them, and you'll get their updates on your page. And you can also form a private group, but they're not in the search engine in Facebook. So that would be more like you could do your own membership group, for example. And Lynn, your Google Talk is coming up on the screen.
Ah, I was trying to turn it off. Sorry, everybody.
So that's Facebook groups, and so the next slide, we tell you just that joining groups, you just search for the groups in your niche and then start participating in them, and you can also create your own groups. So I guess I went over all that.
Yeah, well, creating your own groups is an easy way to do membership.
Yeah.
Where you don't have to, you know, have a website and set up a program or whatever. And the groups were there more of an answer before they came up with a page theme to let people interact a little bit more privately.
Yeah, so next is LinkedIn. And Lynn, you want to give us...
Sure. LinkedIn started as a real professional network. It was for mainly like freelancers and consultants to make connections and get business. It was also for people who were looking for a job or looking to hire somebody. But now it's become more widely used and for more different professions, more different people. What's neat about it, it has a tiered structure. It's a closed network, so you can't be in a network with somebody without their approval. But once you're in their network, you can see the people that they're networked to. If you see a person that you really, I'd like to get to know them, you can ask for an introduction. So it's all about relationships and the hierarchy of your relationships. They also do recommendations, which are basically the same thing as testimonials. You can ask for them from people. People can volunteer to give them put them, and you can put them on your site or whatever you want to do. A lot of times that's reciprocal. You know, if I do a recommendation for you, then, you know, you might turn around and do one for me. Jeanette has had fantastic success with LinkedIn groups. And it's, once again, it's a group of like-minded members. Some groups you can join. LinkedIn changed their groups yesterday. Now they have open groups where you don't have to join. You can see the conversations. You can actually participate in discussions. And they have closed groups where you have to be approved. You have to become a member, and only members can see the discussions. But Jeanette, why don't you tell us how you're using the LinkedIn groups?
Well, yes, I just sort of read someone's blog post that I was following that said that she was posting her blog posts to her LinkedIn groups, and that's how she got a lot of traffic. So I thought, well, okay, I'll try that. And I belong to about 12 groups right now, and they're all, you know, highly related to my target market. So I started posting my blogs to my blog post to the discussion group that, you know, you enter it as a new discussion. And a lot of people do that, and that's what a lot of discussions are, but they're always like helpful hints sort of thing. It's hardly ever promotion. So, you know, you have to balance it out. But most of my blogs are just informative anyway. So, and when I started doing that, I saw my traffic go way up. The first month I had a blog, my traffic was about 2 people a day, and it went up to more like 10 a day just from that. And plus, I'm starting to make contacts. People make comments, and I always comment back. So you can see that there's a discussion there. And, of course, every time your name appears on there, then you're getting more visibility. So.
Yeah, it's easy to set up your blog so that your blog posts automatically go into your profile on LinkedIn. But the idea of putting the blog posts on groups was new to me, and I think that's just an excellent idea. And apparently it's been successful, right, Jeanette?
Right. They especially like my most popular blog post on LinkedIn was 5 quick ways to have a positive attitude.
That was a good blog post. I remember that. I like that. Another way to get online visibility is through article marketing. And the articles for the internet are not hard to write. I know some people say, I'm not a writer, I can't do that. But everything is more casual on the internet, and you want to write like you're talking to a friend. Actually, most successful writing of all kinds is more informal, talking to a friend type writing. When you write an article, usually you want to be around 400 to 500 words. They're not long. If you have a longer subject or you get carried away, make it into multiple articles and break it up. On most article directories, you have the article, and then you have what they call a resource box, which is really where your bio goes. And in your bio is where you can be promoting. In the article, you want to be giving information. Chris Knight of Easy in Articles calls it the article body is the give, and the bio box, resource box, is the take. And in the bio box, you can invite them to come back to your website. You can offer them your free giveaway, your free taste of your service, whatever it is that you're doing there, and say, you know, I invite you to come to my website and pick up your free blah, blah, blah. That works real well to generate traffic back to your website. And Easy in Articles is the best place to do promotional articles. there are some other top directories. And anybody can set up a directory. That's not a big thing. But you want to concentrate your efforts in the places that are going to be most effective to reach your audience. E-Zine Articles has a very high page rank, and if you do a search, it's more likely to come up very high in the search results. So you can sort of piggyback on their credibility. And the first time article you submit, you become an expert author, and then you can go for, they have like platinum, and they send you goodies. It's kind of fun. Anything you want to say about that, Jeanette?
No, I think you covered it.
Okay. Now, video, and I know, don't freak out. You know, it's video, but it's not that big a deal. If you use video, you can actually build a relationship with your audience faster than any other way. Hearing your voice goes a long way toward doing that. If you appear on screen, you can build that even faster. But you don't have to be on screen. There's lots of tools that you can do, like, you know, a PowerPoint presentation like we're doing. That's a video. You want to make sure that when you set yourself up for the video sites in your description, the very first thing that shows in your description, you want to be your URL. And you want to start it, you want to make it the complete URL. So you want the https://. That will make it clickable. So they can just click on that and go over to your site. And the whole idea behind your video is to create a relationship and get them back to your site so that they can learn more about you. YouTube is YouTube on the next slide? Let's see. No. YouTube is the number one video site. It's owned by Google, so you want to be there. Facebook's the second. So once you've got a Facebook account, you can post your videos to Facebook and be in good shape. There are several other sites, and they're, most of them are good, and you want to, you know, don't overlook them, but get started with YouTube and Facebook. And there's a brand new site that I'm really excited about, but I haven't had time to mess with it a lot. And I'll go over that later in the live course. I'll go over that one. Now, your blog is your hub on the internet. That's where you link everything else you want to. All your other efforts are to draw traffic back to your blog. On your blog, you can interact with your readers and create those relationships. They can comment. You can comment to their comment. I use a different tone of voice on a blog than I do on my in articles, because I'm hoping that the readers of the blog are frequent and we have a relationship. So I talk a little bit more informally than I would do in the articles. When you have your link set up, once you post a blog post, you can have it go to Twitter and LinkedIn and Facebook automatically, so you don't have to mess with it. Once it's set up, you can create posts, you can update posts, you can do all this maintenance, and you don't need a webmaster to do that. You can also set up pages that really look like websites. You know, people can't tell it's a blog, so it's possible to have a blog without a website. Jeanette will probably disagree with me on that, but
not advisable, but possible.
And search engines love blogs because they're updated more often. Search engines are always looking for sites that have their content change. Google, I don't know whether Google invented blogs or not, but they're very favorite about them, so they come up in Google quite highly. So I would recommend have a blog before you have a website or instead of a website. The best way to have a blog is a WordPress blog, because it's the industry standard right now. you want it self-hosted. That means you want to have your own hosting service with your own domain name. That way you control it. Yes, you can set up a blog on Blogger. You can set up, there are several free blogging platforms. In fact, there's
WordPress.
Yeah, WordPress has its own. And that's fine to get started. If that's what you have and you want to get started, good. But you don't control it. They can shut down your account. They can delete your content. They can go out of business. So just realize that you don't control what happens on your blog if you don't own it. If you are going to use a third-party blogging site, make sure that you keep a copy of all of your content. You have the copyright. Nobody, you know, can take that away from you. But if they delete it and that's your only copy, then you've lost your content. So you want to keep it well backed up if you're on somebody else's. But the goal should be to move to your own site that you control. Anything else, Jeanette?
Right.
Okay. There's a couple of things that you need to set up when you set up your blog, and we do go into this in great detail. But if you change the permalink, if you don't change the permalink, the title, the URL for each post, and each post is its own page, which lets your web page or your website grow really fast, is the blog title and a number. And the number represents the number of the post. And that's not very search engine friendly. So if you put a permalink so that your title of your blog post is in there, then the title will be in your URL and the search engine can find it. You can even put categories in there and have a keyword for categories, and that will also help you with the search engines. Jeanette's the design person, and
yes, you can choose your own theme, of course, in your blog, and there are plenty of free ones available. There are ones that you can pay for too that are a little fancier, but you don't really need them unless you're into that.
No, but you can also take the free ones. Even they have a new default one now that's pretty neat, and you can put your own header in it. You know. You can have somebody make a header for you.
Yeah, if you know any coding, you can go in and actually recode it. I was able to do that because I know HTML code.
And I went to Fiverr.com. I went to Fiverr.com, and for $5 you can get your own custom header.
Yeah, and you can also have someone, you know, a webmaster do that for you. But it's not that hard.
Yeah. And then when you do a post, you want to ping the search engines. And basically what you do is you just put a list of search engines in your blog, and whenever you publish a post, it goes out and it tells all these search engines, I have new content, come index it. And a blog post will show up in the search engines really fast.
Yeah. And we have a big ping list. The default is like one site.
Yeah. Well, that site, it links to a whole bunch of others, but we can do you better than that. Well,
In fact, we have a whole system.
That's right. And the trick is to have a system in place so that you leverage your time and you have a whole bunch of stuff happening behind the scenes that you don't have to manually do each time. And one of the big things is to link your blog to these sites so that when you do a blog post, it automatically goes to Twitter, it goes to Facebook, it goes to LinkedIn. Then when you need a strategy, because, you know, everybody says, oh, that social networking is such a time suck and I don't know what to do about it and, you know, it's just a waste of time. If you have a strategy, then you know what you're going to do. And your time is controlled. You've got certain tasks that you need to do, and you want to make sure that what you're doing is always to advance your business, not to just, you know, get lost and go off on this, that, and the other, and, you know, chase down the latest crochet patterns or whatever, or, you know, get lost in YouTube watching, you know, old TV series or anything like that. So you do need a strategy, and you also need a timer, because if you set aside so much time to do Twitter and so much time to do Facebook, you tend to stay more on task. And, you know, you can get on it, Twitter, and, you know, you look up and it's 2 hours later, and that's not going to really benefit you. But we want to give you... Go ahead.
Well, in conjunction with the timer, you also need to set up a schedule.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And basically, that's where we come in. With the Social Networking for Coaches guide, the e-course. And it gives you all the social networking information in one place. We've provided the step-by-step screenshots to let you know exactly what you need to do. Because I know both of us are upset about, everybody's going to video training now. Have you guys noticed that? Mm-hmm. And it's hard to watch a video and try to stop it and then go over to the social networking site and, you know, do what it says and then go back to the video and start it back in the right place.
So Lynn,
yes.
Hi. Will you be offering a sort of workable strategy, if you like?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeehaw!
Absolutely.
Yeah, because I'm one of those people that does get completely lost when I start on the social networking.
Oh, yeah. And we've developed this especially for coaches, because every field is different. And if you go out on the internet and you start searching this stuff, what you find is people with the instructions for internet marketers. You know? Mm-hmm. And yes, you are marketing on the internet, but you're not an internet marketer. You know, so the information that's available isn't really right for you. Mm-hmm. So I've leaned on Jeanette and once again, this is why we're such a good team, she has the coaching experience and knows what coaches need, and I know technology and the internet, so, you know.
Mm-hmm. And can I just ask you to clarify if there's information in there on duplicate content?
I think there is.
Yeah, we go over that.
Yeah.
If not, we'll
cover that, because that's one of my things.
Yeah. That confuses me when I heard
that in the article section.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another important issue.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's one of the most misunderstood issues on the internet.
Oh, so I'm not alone.
No, not at all. Even some of the big names just don't understand it.
Yeah.
Well, and the other thing is that the only thing that we have found that's available on the internet is either these videos or articles that, you know, are just all text, and then you've got to, it's like, well, what do they mean by that? And, of course, the article is dated, so if something has changed on the site, then it's different, but we thought it was helpful to be able to see what the site looks like. Where's the button that you click? Because sometimes you just can't find it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we have all these screenshots. I just very methodically created an account in each of these sites and took a screenshot of every step.
Okay.
So that's what we have in there. So it's very visual. It's hardly any text. It's just instructions and then the picture of where's the button, and there's a big red arrow. Here's the button.
Good. Yeah.
Because Facebook especially always moves the button around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bless their little hearts.
Yeah, and actually, we do have a little, should we tell them about the membership thing just so they...
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We keep saying that, you know, things constantly change. And so part of our offering is we have this course, and then we're also going to have a live course, which is actually what we're going to talk about next. And then after that, we're going to have a membership site so that you can be a part of that and get all the updates. So whenever the button changes, we make a new screenshot and a little PDF and send it out.
Yeah.
But let's talk about the live course.
Or the rules change. You know, the rules change all the time, too. Yeah. In addition to that, for the live course, of course you get the e-course. But we're going to do six weekly webinars, sort of like what we're doing now, well, exactly like what we're doing now, to cover each module. And to go over any questions you have, help you do a setup of something if you're having trouble. And those, we'll do the replays of that. You can have the video or you can have an MP3 of it that will, you know, you can download it to your MP3 player and take it with you so you don't have to sit right in front of your computer to hear it. And you can, because it is live, we'll be here. You can ask your questions and interact and... we'll find out what you're doing, what's your sticking point, what your successes are. We're always big about sharing successes. So
yeah, and so those will just go into a lot more detail about each site, and then is covered in the digital version. So there's three products then that we have set up. We've got the digital e-course, which is just a downloadable e-course with the six modules, and our little system, which is in that, scheduling and everything, and that's, you know, a standalone product. But then if you want more, we're going to be having this live course, which will be taking place in January. We haven't set up the dates yet, but I think we'll start it in January, and every week we'll go over a different module so that, as we said, everything is covered. And then the third product will be the membership site with the updates and other goodies that we'll try to keep presenting every month. So,
oops, I didn't want to do that.
So the next step in this presentation is that we have a free report that gives you sort of a taste. In fact, Lynn, we may want to give them a little sneak preview. We could show them a page of one of the modules or the free report. But we do have a free report that you can download. And when you go to our site, Social Networking for Coaches Guide.com, that's our opt-in page, and when you opt in, then you'll get the free report, and that gives you an sort of an overview of the course, and you know, a few of the tips and things that we've covered here.
And I'm sorry because I meant to have that loaded, and I don't.
So while she's doing that. Or you could send it over to me, and I'll
let me do that, because I've gotten blocked at my own website.
Oh dear! You can always send it to us later.
No, Jeanette's going to show you that, and she'll show you the sales page, and. Actually, I have a way around getting blocked, but see, there's things happen to me, too. That's why I can help you with all these problems, is because I've experienced every one of them.
Okay, so this is our home page here. Get rid of that. So that's our homepage and our opt-in. And then...
have you got the sales page that defines the offers for them?
Sales page. Well, that's really the free report, so...
Yeah, but I mean the other page, too, so that... See, you guys are our pilot program, so we're still putting all this stuff together. So, and that's why we would love feedback. If, you know, there's something you need covered, you know, whatever, let us know.
Is this what you wanted to show them?
Yes.
This page?
Yeah. I'll just show them a little bit about the modules and then the choices.
Yeah, so
the first one is... it's a home study course, yeah? So that would be one of your offerings. And the next one would be the six-week live course, yeah? Is that right?
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And
okay.
we're doing a special offer for you guys on the e-course.
Yeah. So when you see that the okay, so if you can see my screen now.
Yeah. So the e-course is a home study course, yeah?
Right, right.
Yeah.
So this is the introduction module, and this just will show you that, you know, it's, we've got, you know, lots of instructions on here.
Yeah.
And then the modules themselves, they have screenshots of everything. So, like, here's the arrows, see?
Cool, yeah.
So ping list, we've got the ping list in there. We've got recommended plugins and widgets. And then you just see screenshots of everything that shows you exactly what to do. So,
are you looking for affiliates, Jeanette?
Yes.
Oh yes. That's mainly what we've been working on is setting up our affiliate program. So we have that, and what we'll do, I think, is send out an email in.
We can do that.
What we'll do is send out an invitation to Accelerate. The other thing I wanted to show you is our fan page, and what we would like you to do is is go to our fan page. Let's see, I've got
Do you have a link to the affiliate program on the fan page, Jeanette?
No, not yet.
We should do that.
Write that down. Yeah, I just made this fan page. I don't think Glenn has even seen it.
I haven't seen it, no.
Yeah. So
I did a redirect, and I'm not... I think it's asklynnj.com/coaching-affiliate or affiliates. Since I can't get into my site right now, I can't find it. But
and Lynn, can I just ask if you could send a URL to the sales page, because then we can all be posting that on our Facebook
page. Sure, absolutely. Well, if you, as the affiliate, send them to the free report, which is socialnetworkingforcoachesguide.com.
Okay, yeah.
Just a minute, honey. And I will send an email about that.
Okay, yeah, I'm trying to write the okay.
Yeah.
All right, let me get the right URL here. Okay, so this is our fan page for Social Networking for Coach's Guide. And free report is right here. Hopefully it will populate.
Eventually.
There we go. So here's our
that makes
This is our tab. So, you know, you have a wall,
mm-hmm.
and you have an info page, and then you can make these tabs. So that's what we show you how to do in our class.
Oh, yeah.
See here. So here, and I'll post this this URL for you.
Mm-hmm.
But the first step is to ask you to like the page, and then when you click on here.
But once again, you don't have to if you don't want to. You know.
Yeah, it goes to our site. And
what was that, Jeanette? You go back. Can you go back?
Yeah. So when we click on this,
yeah,
it goes to the site.
Okay.
Now the site right now we haven't put the index page up there, so that'll be the next step, mm-hmm. which we'll do right after this. But
yeah.
Anyway, see, you can put these nice graphics here and.
Mm-hmm.
Customize it, you know, right here.
Yeah, yeah, because it's things like that, Jeanette. I don't even know where to get the graphics from, or, you know, there's just all these little things, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's this is actually a template. Of course, you need Photoshop to do that, but, you know, you can get a graphic artist to do it, or I should have a separate class on how to do simple graphics.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I do everything in Photoshop, so you really need that to do it right.
Or anyway, some people have been asking for a done-for-you program, so we may eventually move to that.
Yeah, that's another thing we're working on. So, any questions? Then we can take it back to you if you want.
Let's see. Okay. Still fighting with my... let's see. There we go. Yeah. Okay. There we go. Yeah, so that's our presentation about social networking. And I hope we've answered some questions for you today.
And
you have.
The thing is just to get started. Don't be afraid of it. And uh-huh. take baby steps. You don't have to do everything at once. Just don't get so overwhelmed.
I think this is just what's needed for me anyway.
Well, good.
Step-by-step guide. Yeah, it's wonderful.
Good.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there and promising the earth with social networking and charging a fortune.
Mm-hmm.
It's been great, thanks.
Sure.
Lynn, I just sent the bit.ly to the fan page, but it says I can only send this to the organizer, so.
Really?
It's on the chat thing.
Okay. Let's see.
And then, do we want to give them the link to the website, too?
Yes, let's see. That's the link to the fan page, and it's one of those long, ugly things. Let's see.
As soon as you get 25 fans, then you can select your own
rename
on Facebook. So that's another nice thing.
We will do that. That's okay. I've got my cockatoo in the other room saying, hello. I tried to get him to say bye-bye on the call the other day, and he wouldn't do it.
Okay, I just sent you the URL to the site.
Ah. Yeah, let's see. But I can't get it.
Oh.
Because.
Yeah, I don't know. We have to set this up so that... So we'll send this all to the Accelerate thing.
Yeah, we definitely will.
Any other questions? Otherwise, I think we're...
And you know where we are. You know how to get a hold of us. So, if you have any questions...
Okay, well, thanks for attending, and have a great week.
Right.
Okay, thanks.
Good luck with your social networking.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks.